Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we hear and see an awful lot about public education. And if you watched Donald Trump's State of the Union, they're no longer public schools. They're government schools. Which means, you know, as I've been saying, you know, they're going to work to do whatever they can to destroy our public schools, to privatize and profitize them. But, you know, there's a lot of great people in our public schools doing some really great things. And, you know, recently I came across this cartoon strip that I find interesting. And, you know, look, you talk about real issues in education. You got to make them interesting. So I came across this, the Real Mr. Fitz comic strip. And I said, you know, maybe we'll talk to the guy who created this. I'll get some thoughts on the hows and whys and all of that. That's why I've asked David Lee Finkel to come talk with us. He is the creator of the comic strip, Mr. Fitz. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, good evening.
So, you know, walk me through this. I mean, I've been reading these comic strips and I'm looking at it. I'm going, this is great stuff. What made you jump into this?
Well, I'd wanted to be a cartoonist since I was a little kid. I learned to read, basically, so I could read Peanuts. I grew up in the 70s. And so I had come up, I did a newspaper comic strip for my little hometown newspaper. I did one for the Stetson Reporter. I went to Stetson University here in DeLand, where I live. And I had proposed one to the local newspaper, the Daytona Beach News Journal, and they didn't like it. They wanted something more local interest. So I said, what about something about education? And they said, maybe. So I did a sample. I submitted it, and they didn't have space for me at first, but then a syndicated comic strip ended, so they said, they called me at school, actually, while I was doing a cartooning club after school in 2000, and said, do you want to run it? We can take you in 5 times a week. And I said, okay. So I have pretty much been drawing. I did, eventually I moved up to 6 times a week, and then in 2018, I started to get a little tired and decided to give myself a bit of a break. So, because 6 times a week on top of teaching is almost a full-time job,
absolutely,
a second full-time job. So I went to 3 times a week and went to a smaller newspaper here in town, the DeLand Beacon. But I'm still online, and now I'm running my website. I run reruns from, I'm up to 2002 now, 5 days a week, and 4 days a week, and then the other 3 days are the news strips, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But I got into it to just poke fun at the foibles of teaching, and mainly it was about the students. But I think pretty quickly, within the first year, as Florida started instituting more standardized testing and the grading of schools and districts, it started to become a little more pointed. And a lot of what I make fun of now is the whole war on public education, really.
No, and it's incredible. And, you know, some of the stories of what it's like to be a teacher, I think, are important. And it's another vehicle to share those stories and also to talk about, you know, the politics of the whole situation. You know, and you know, because I know a lot of people who they seem to only be able to read in comic strip form. Because have you seen these graphic novels that have come out that are really, you know, really popular now? I can't read them, but I know people who absolutely love them. It's like when we were kids reading comic books.
Well, it's a very interesting thing is that I tend to be a newspaper comics guy. I like newspaper comics. I was not as big into comic books. And it has taken me a long time to warm up into graphic novels. They have a kind of different visual language than newspaper comic strips. You know, I grew up loving Peanuts and then later, and when I was in high school, Bloom County and Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side. So it's only recently that I've really started reading more graphic novels. I just finished this year for the first time, the Newbery Award for Young Adult Literature went to a graphic novel for the very first time. It was Jerry Craft's New Kid. So I just finished reading that. So I'm getting more attuned to that, and I'm actually starting to revising my first public novel, published novel, to be half graphic novel. So
oh, wow.
I'm starting to toy with that myself.
No, I mean, because the reason I brought it up is, you know, I'm looking at these cartoon strips and, you know, most people don't read newspapers anymore. And, you know, you want to get things into people's hands. And that seems to be where things are going. So it seemed like a natural fit.
I think doing a newspaper comic and making it funny, I think I have people, when there's humor involved sometimes, it sneaks past a lot of people's, it sneaks past their defenses, sort of, because it is funny, and I think it maybe stops and makes them think a little bit about some of the stuff they don't usually question. Like, one of the things that bothers me right now, I don't know if you if they do it, you're in Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
In Florida, our schools are each graded based on standardized test scores, basically. High schools, there's a little more of a formula with graduation rates and test scores and this and that and the other thing. Teachers are rated based on test scores. They call that VAM. And entire districts are rated. So, like, our district grade has gone down a little bit. So there's a lot of people from the state coming in to kind of hover over us. I question the whole idea of grading. How do you grade an entire district based on test scores? Test scores have been by and large shown to be basically indicative of the socioeconomic status of the school,
right,
or the district, more so than the job the educators are doing. And in fact, really what they're asking you to do now is kind of teach to the test, not kind of, is teach to the test, which kind of used to be considered unethical when I started teaching 28 years ago. So 30 years ago, actually. So I think there's a lot of things that people take for granted, like, oh no, our school isn't good, it's a C school. What exactly does that mean? You know, it's just a formula they came up with to make public schools look bad.
Which is why we've opted our kids out of all those standardized tests. Not because I'm against testing, just against those tests.
Well, standardized tests are being used for things they were never meant to be used for. They were never designed to be rate teachers. They were never designed to grade schools. They were designed, there are some people who claim it goes back to the eugenics movement and that they were designed to sort and rank kids based so we could decide who gets to go to college. But I mean, really, if you take a more favorable view of them, they were designed to see how kids were doing and see who needs help. When you start to use them for all of these other purposes, they kind of get corrupted. Have you heard of Campbell's Law?
Yes.
It's Campbell's Law, that the more a reform is used to change the thing it's reforming, like the more testing is used to change schools, the more testing itself kind of becomes corrupted and no longer good for the purpose it was originally designed for. So I've made fun in the strip. I've made fun of all of this every which way. I like to do movie parodies. So I did two series where I compared what's happening to schools to Star Wars. I had the test star, which looked like bubble sheets wrapped around a globe, and it had number two pencils pointing at planets, and it said it could wipe out an entire school system. I did a series. I like doing Halloween series, so I did one that was the test score zombies, and instead of calling for everyone at school, I feel like all we talk about is scores a lot of the time instead of actual learning.
Right.
So everybody, Mr. Fitz had a dream where everybody had turned into test score zombies, and instead of calling for brains, they call for scores. I feel like they want to make us kind of robotic, so I did a Stepford Teachers series for Halloween as well. I have a good time with Halloween strip. So I've parodied what's going on every which way. I think my favorite, which made it into the Washington Post answer sheet blog, was I did How the Dearth's Still Learning. Dearth is the student in my strip who never wants to do anything. He's kind of the do-nothing student. And I did a parody of the Grinch where he steals all of the standardized tests and all the standardized curriculums and the curriculum maps and everything and takes them up Mount Race to the top and dumps them. And then everybody's actually happier and learning actually goes on and people have fun learning. So I mean, had a good time.
It's an incredible strip. And, you know, the characters that you've chosen or the cast that you have, are they based on people that are real? Are they people, are they composites of people? You know, you go through the students and teachers, are they actual folks that you've had?
So I'm obviously Mr. Fitz. My wife is Mrs. Fitz. When
obviously.
I started the strip, our kids were 4 and 5. And they looked at us and said, well, if you're Mr. Fitz and we're Mrs. Fitz and she's Mrs. Fitz, where are we? So I had to have Mrs. Fitz have kids. And I made her have twins just to have it done with quick. So the kids in the strip are based on our kids. The students are all composites. In fact, I have such a large cast of students that if somebody does something funny in class, I'll think, oh, that's a dirt strip or that's a Liz strip or whatever. Most of the teachers are based on archetypes, kind of like archetypal teachers, but some of them are very much based on real people. The new principal I introduced, I think, about a year or two ago, is based on my own principal for 11 years at Southwestern Middle School. Her name is Mamie Otis. She had to retire, and she was just sensational, super supportive. You know, if I said I need this book, she'd get me this book. It was great. And she supported us. My wife taught at the same school. We're now at a different school, at a high school. She really supported creative teaching. So I made her into the new principal in the strip, which has been really fun. It's been a good reaction from the audience. I'm trying to think. The media specialist, Mr. Don, is based on a real person. He's retired now. He's based on Don Tutt. So some of them are based on real people. Those are always tributes. Anybody who's bad is kind of an archetype.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about that. You know, is there someone that's come back and seen themselves in something that you've written and, you know, maybe come at you over it?
No, not really. Well, more I've made fun of like programs or things like that, and only once have I kind of sort of been threatened with being called on the carpet about it, and I was later told that shouldn't have happened, and that was embarrassing because it's my free speech and it's, you know, it's my side gig in the newspaper.
Right.
So that sort of happened once, but no, nobody's really. I guess because the negative characters are all, they're based on kind of like they're very cartoonish, obviously, since it's a cartoon. Like Mrs. Merritt was an invention, I think, in 2010 I came up with her, and she's been really fun. She's like the state's ideal teacher. I called her, my naming is not subtle. She wants the merit pay, so she wants the test scores, and she's like everything the state seems to espouse in a teacher, and yet she always has her data notebook in front of her, and I've tried to make her as unappealing as possible as a character, but she isn't really based on any real teachers I know. She's just sort of a cartoon version of what the state wants rather than a real person. So the
website, MrFitz.com, we'll get links out so folks can take a look at it.
Great.
Some incredible stuff. Have you thought about compiling these into it, like a book or something that people could pick up, that you could make a little money off of? Because you do really incredible work. I mean, I was looking through some of them today. I'm just blown away at the ability that someone has the talent to be able to do this. Because I can't draw stick figures to save my life. And I look at the work that you've done, it's really incredible.
Actually, there's a self-publishing site called Lulu.com, and I actually have published a few collections there. So if you go on the website and put in Fitz for sale, the books are there. I'm pretty sure the links are there. I'll check on that. Sadly, I have two books from Scholastic for teachers about teaching writing, and each of those has about 100 Mr. Fitz cartoons in them. Sadly, they've been out for a little over 10 years now, so they're going out of print, but the digital, they're still on sale digitally. So if you go to scholastic.com, you can find books by David Lee Finkel. It's Writing Extraordinary Essays and Teaching Students to Make Writing Visual and Vivid. I'm still very proud of them. So I'm sad they're going out of print, but the collections, I think I have a 2010 collection, which is, each book is a whole year's worth of strips. So I did 2015, which is School Wars. That has all the Star Wars strips. It also has one of my very favorite series in it that actually wasn't school-related. I'm always kind of, what do I do over the summer with the strip? And what I usually do is make the summer and the strip very short, and then come up with something. One of the rules of the strip is that everything has to do with teaching or learning or education somehow, even if it's not set at school.
Right.
And a few years ago, I was driving back home to go to work at the middle school after dropping my daughter off at the high school, and I found a little four-year-old boy running around in the street pre-dawn, like he was just out in his pajamas wearing his socks, and nobody seemed to have noticed him out there, and it was dark. I was ready to get hit by a car, so I wound up spending about 20 minutes waiting after I called 911, just waiting with him out on the street to make sure he was safe until the police arrived. And I, after that happened, I thought about it. I wasn't quite sure what to do with it, but I turned it into a series in the strip where the same thing happens to Mr. Fitz. And that's become one of my very favorite series. So that's in the 2015 book.
Interesting.
So yeah, there are some books out there.
And people will take a look at them. Actually thinking about, you know, picking up a couple, giving them to our kids' teachers as end-of-the-year gifts. It sounds like just popped into my head. Seems like a good idea.
Seems like a good idea to me, too.
There you go. But David, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the incredible work you do. I hope folks will take a look at MrFitz.com. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at these incredible comic strips. Terrific work, and I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Thank you, David Lee Finkel. And look, you know, at MrFitz.com, trust me, good stuff. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work.